Recently, I was hearing from one of the lectures of His Holiness Mahanidhi Maharaj. He was telling, you all have heard the story of how there was a prostitute living opposite to the house of a sadhu. The story is well known in India. Even outside ISKCON, we have heard it. But he was telling the story in a very specific way, in a beautiful way, which deeply touched my heart. So I will just tell those aspects of the pastime, of the story. It's not a very great pastime, it's a simple story. But it has a profound lesson. As you know, this prostitute was living opposite to the house of a mendicant, sadhu. She was always thinking about the saintly person. That is called Tadatmata, he says. She was always absorbed in Tadatmata with Krishna. And also because of the habit of being, staying right opposite to the house of a mendicant, she also got a Vishnu deity. And in the night, every day, she would worship, offer some flowers, offer some tulasi, offer some waters and bow down and lament her about her pitiable situation of being a being a prostitute doing such a lowly profession. So in this way he was telling, she was simultaneously performing pap karma and also prashchita, simultaneously. So, and her sinful activities were becoming washed away by her tears of repentance. And that was sincere repentance, not a planned, premeditated repentance. It was a very natural and swabhavik repentance. On the other hand, this sadhu who was staying opposite to her house, he was in tadatmata with her. Tadatmata means absorption in some type of consciousness, is called tadatmata, or one with that consciousness. So, because this mendicant was constantly absorbing his mind on the low-class activities of the prostitute, he was absorbing 1/6 of her sinful reactions. Just like the king is absorbed in meditating on the citizens and offering them shelter and considering himself the master of the citizens, he gets 1/6 of their bad karma. Isn't it? Similarly, the sadhu, because of the tadatmata with the prostitute, he was earning like that. He was also absorbing 1/6 of her karma. As you know, when the Yamadutas came, they went to the sadhu, and Vishnudutas went to the house of the prostitute. In fact, the prostitute told them that actually you come to a wrong address, because I am such a low-class sinner. Probably you are supposed to go to the opposite house, you come here. She said, and they said, no, you have become free from all sins because of your absorption, this type of consciousness. So, Maharaj was telling this particular pastime, and he was extracting the lesson about energy flows wherever intent goes. Wherever our intention goes, our energy flows in that direction. So, he was telling about the importance of the right intent. That's like anukulyena krishna anushilnam bhaktiruttama. In that word, anukulyena is a favorable intention. In bhakti, favorable intention is all important. Because this comes in the primary characteristic. The primary characteristics, anukulyena krishna anushilnam bhaktiruttama. These are all primary characteristics. So, In the performance of Krishna conscious activities, a favorable intention, a right attitude is very vital in pleasing Krishna, because Krishna is not just pleased with the external activities. Like I heard about Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was so lovable by the Vrajabasis of Vrindavan. Sometimes old man, Vrajabasi, they loved him so much that sometimes they forgot that he is our guru and we have to offer him obeisances. In fact, they started rendering service to him out of spontaneous natural love, that they sometimes failed to offer obeisances, and that was not considered as a mistake by Krishna at all. And similarly, some of the children and young boys would catch the feet of Sanatana Goswami out of great love and put their head on his feet. And Sanatana Goswami, although as a humble Vaishnava, did not like it. He wanted to refuse it and he wanted to admonish them. When he would look at them, out of his love for them, he could not refuse it. It is said. So, you will see in both these cases, one is not offering obeisances and one is accepting someone touching one's feet, and both these things are not considered offensive because the basis of both these activities is simply pure love. So in spiritual life, intention is more important than the external activity. Everything that we do, the tadatmata that he is talking about, our absorption in any activity we do, that is most vital. And that many people cannot know about what is going on in your mind. Our minds are individual and we all know, only Krishna knows our mind. Once Srila Prabhupada was telling his disciples that somehow or other, if you all can help me, I can open 108 temples and I think that will please my spiritual master. And then I can go to hell after that, he said. His own disciples said, Prabhupada, if after doing so many services, if you say you will go to hell, what will happen to us? We are the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, no, I am servant of the most fallen. I am more fallen than you, the Prabhupada was saying. So, what Prabhupada felt in his mind about himself, only very few people can know. Prabhupada may say, I kick with my boots on the face of scientists. Prabhupada was smashing Mayavadis. Once Prabhupada even said, I don't mind going to hell even if my behavior is considered offensive. When I am strongly dealing with the atheists and when I am strongly dealing with the demigod worshippers and sahajiyas, bringing them, putting them on the table and exposing them. Prabhupada said, I am willing to go. At least I would have done some service to my spiritual master. He was telling. But Prabhupada's attitude was always one of very great humility. So, the consciousness of a devotee in practicing Krishna consciousness is absolutely important. The more I am reading Letter of Devotion now, I am understanding that this intent is such a vital thing in spiritual life. And other things appear to me like, they appear like almost just 1 or 2%, that's all. 99% our intent, and the right intent, right attitude, which we are exhibiting, that is observed by Krishna, and Krishna awards results accordingly. So, one beauty of chanting the holy name is that the chanting can completely wipe out both the problems of the mind and the problems of the heart. For example, committing a mistake, not deliberately but unknowingly, is a mistake of the mind. But the fourth defect, which is cheating, is actually a mistake of the heart. Similarly, a wrong intention is a mistake of the heart. If somebody has a wrong intent, and that is very, very difficult to cure, just like sometimes we have a ink in our shirt, it is difficult to wash with a soap. It doesn't go away. Similarly, feeling false pride or doing something with a malicious intent, these are all extremely difficult to overcome problems. They are very deep-rooted problems of our heart. But the holy name is so powerful. He was telling that India would have gone to dogs, or India would have gone to hell long before. But India is still going on, he said. Do you know why? Because all over India you will find people are chanting Govinda, Gopala, Madhava, Madhusudana, Hari, Vishnu, Ram. These names are going on all over India. You go to Haridwar, you go to Rishikesh, you go to Vrindavan, you go to Dwaraka, you go to Rameshwaram, you go to Srirangam. Everywhere the worship of the Lord and the Lord's holy name is being chanted, it is going on. And he said, because of that, Indians are still having a very cozy and comfortable life despite performing, so many atrocious activities and heading madly towards the west. He said, because the holy names are sustaining them, we are selling. So he said, every day when we are chanting the holy name, we pray to the holy name, please kindly eradicate my wrong intentions or the wrong attitudes in my Krishna consciousness. Because the wrong attitudes, sometimes they pin us down for millions of lifetimes on this cycle of birth and death. And they don't allow us to elevate ourselves to Namabhas. Namabhas is a stage where one can very sincerely call out Krishna's names with a repentant mood, with a desire to improve, with a desire to improve the quality of our offering of service. And those things can happen only in Namabhas. In the Aparadhana, one is almost blind and one is thoroughly ignorant like a fool. One considers oneself very great and potent and powerful. And one is unable to make any tangible progress in the Aparadhana. Namabhas is a very progressive stage. It's called clearing stage. Very quickly one's anarthas get eradicated. And the chanting of the holy name has the power to eradicate all kinds of problems of the mind and heart. So, one can offer this prayer to the holy name. Please eradicate this kind of wrong mentality and wrong attitudes in rendering my devotional service so that I will adopt a right mentality which will be very pleasing to the divine couple, Sri Radha and Krishna. Harinam Prabhu ki. That's offer of humble obeisance.